Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our group spent all day on the phone. I mean, we were trying forever to, make the deal that eventually got us Zach Bond. I mean, we tried every team between where we are. We were at pick 88 and pick 33. I mean, every team we talked to a bunch of them. There's a few times we felt like we were close to making a deal, and then that fell through. And so eventually, we get to the pick where we got Zach, and then as we're sitting there and we're just seeing this player that's kind of out there by himself on our board, and so we started calling, and man, we had probably 10 or 12 teams that we called, and had a couple that were close, but ultimately it was Minnesota, and able to get that done. So pretty excited about it.
Did you say you tried to go up as high as 33 for Bond?
Well, we called. We listened. Honestly, we didn't have enough resources to get to the top of the second round, but you always call and ask, right? So we spoke to every team, and there was a number of teams that had multiple picks in the second round. So you talk to those teams. Those are kind of the first ones on your list, because oftentimes if you have two picks in a round, you're a little more willing to back out on your second choice, pick up more picks. So those were our first targets, and a couple of those teams had higher picks as well as a pick later in the round.
So would it be fair to say, did you guys have a first round grade on him then, if you were trying, at least exploring, to get up that high?
He froze up on me here.
Did you guys have a first round grade on him if you were exploring to go up that high to get him?
I missed the first part of that question. We had a little technical difficulty here. Want to try it again?
Yeah. Did you guys have a first round grade on him? Assuming you were trying to go to 33, but
yeah. I don't want to talk about the actual grade, but it's suffice to say that he was in our top 40. Actually, both these guys that we got in the third round were.
Hey, Mickey, this could just be perception, but I feel like this is the first time y'all have said y'all tried that hard to make a trade and you couldn't get it done for a while. Was there some more reluctance this year for teams to make deals?
No, it wasn't that. It was just, we were so far back. I mean, we were pick 88 to, pick in the 30s and 40s. That's a long ways to go. And it doesn't happen very often. You can probably count on one hand the number of times that someone's gone, that far back and traded up. And so there's not a lot of history there. And look, teams don't want to go back that far. There's too much unknown in terms of what players will be available. So you understand the reluctance. They're looking to get knocked over with the offer that you made. And we had our limits as to what we would do. But listen, it worked out great for us because he was still available later, and it didn't cost us as much as we were willing to go.
Yeah, that was my next question, Mickey. I would assume that the compensation went down, you were probably willing to spend a lot more draft capital to get him. Would that be correct to assume?
Yeah, we were willing to spend more, definitely.
How long did it take for the Troutman trade to materialize?
Well, that took less time because we really didn't make that decision until till late in the third round. It's like, wow, this guy's still there. Here's what we have. And it finally got to the point where what we had left was reasonable compensation for the picks in the bottom of the third. So, but it wasn't long. I mean, you know, those picks go off pretty quick when you're talking about 5 minutes a pick. And so you have to act a little quicker than you did, you know, earlier in the day.
How valuable will it be tomorrow that, you know, pending Yale trading back in, that your whole staff just has more time to go over the list for priority free agents?
Yeah, well, I'm interested to see that because, listen, this is going to be different. You know, typically we're all in a room together in the draft room. And it's like, you know, it's like the floor of the stock exchange. There's a lot of talk, a lot of conversations going on, and you know, a lot of communication in order to keep track of the guys we're going after, the offers that are being made, how much we have available to spend. This is going to be different because we're not in the same room. And so we'll have, you know, obviously we'll have all day to kind of plan for that and plan it. And then be able to execute it. But it's going to be different. It's going to be different for us as well as every other team. You know, we'll have our targets, and you know, as soon as that draft, that last pick is made, we're going to hit the ground running.
Mickey, was the willingness to target a handful of guys and just specifically go after them, is that related to the strength of your roster? Is that unique to just this year? Or is that kind of a philosophy?
Yeah, well, look, I think our philosophy has always been to, hey, if we have a vision and an affinity for someone, you know, we'll put a target on them and then we'll go get them. So that fits in with the philosophy that we've had. But I do think that some of this is relative to how you view your roster. You know, it's hard to make our team in a lot of areas. And we've got a lot of young talented players on our team that have performed, and we've got some guys that are a little more unknown that we like a lot too, that you know, you really haven't seen yet. And so it's difficult to make our roster, and so I think for us it's more about quality over quality. So I think that's right.
Mickey, can you go into what you personally liked about Ruiz as a player? I don't think we've asked your opinion on that yet.
Yeah, listen, first of all, you know, you love the talent, you love the quality of the player, but man, he fits in perfectly with the things that we've identified as a Saints player. You know, he's intelligent, he's tough, he's not just tough, but gritty in terms of how he's conducted himself. He's endearing to his teammates, and yet has a lot of leadership qualities. So it's really, there's nothing that we don't like about the player. So we're excited to have him.
Does anybody else have anything for Mickey Loomis this evening?
Mickey,
Sean was on there long enough to answer all your questions. I like
it. Yeah, last thing, Mickey. I'm guessing you sort of already answered this, but you're happy with what you guys were able to do, right? If you don't jump back into the draft tomorrow, you will consider this to be a very successful draft?
Yeah, look, I'm extremely excited about and sometimes there's a little bit of a downer when you only have three players. You know, you can look at it that way. I don't look at it that way. I feel like we've added three high quality players, high character, intelligent guys that are going to fit with our roster perfectly. And, you know, we've had a lot of success in the undrafted free agent arena over the years, and so I'm excited about what we might be able to find there. And that's a credit to our scouting department and the guys Terry Fontenot and Kai and Jeff that once we get these guys targeted, go recruit, and our coaches do a great job of recruiting. And so I've got a lot of pride in what we've been able to do post draft over the years, and I'm hoping that and I expect that to continue tomorrow.
Can I sneak one more in?
Yeah, you bet.
Does the approach have anything to do with maybe limited information at all on guys, and you felt stronger about the guys you knew a lot about?
Well, no, on the surface that would make some sense, and yet I felt pretty good about, you know, we pare our board down so much. Jeff does a great job of this, of really honing in on the guys that we have a strong affinity for. And I felt really good about the information that we had on that group of players. I didn't feel like there was a lot of gaps. There were some gaps, definitely, because we didn't have, you know, the pro day information, and there was probably a few guys that we would like to have been able to visit a little longer with, a few medicals that we would like to have rechecks on, and I didn't feel like that hampered us in any way, shape, or form for this draft. So, look, I like it better when we have more information, certainly, but given the hand we were dealt here, I felt good about the way we organized that.
Did you get asked about receiver position before I got on the call?
I did not.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just curious if you could kind of give us your perspective on that, with it being supposedly a deep draft in receiver and the production that the team had outside of Michael Thomas last year.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, two things. One, this was a deep draft and is a deep draft relative to the receiver position. There's a lot of guys there that we liked and were in that top 40 that I talked about. It didn't come to pass that one of those guys was available when we were picking, or there were other guys that we had, you know, liked a little better. So this isn't a reflection on them. This is just the way the draft fell to us. But the other part of that is that, listen, we feel good about our group. You know, we added Emmanuel Sanders. I love the prospects that we have with Traquan Smith. He's done some really good things to date. We've got some young guys that we like a lot. So I probably didn't have the same view of the position that maybe some people outside the building have.
And Mickey, can I ask that same question sort of about the quarterback position? Is that the position that you considered addressing in the draft, or you just felt like you could find it somewhere else?
Yeah, I think the same sort of thing there is that obviously there's some really good quarterbacks in this draft, but, you know, Sean's been really clear, and I think we've all been really clear that you know, we love the prospect of Taysom Hill and what he might be able to do for us in the future. Obviously, Drew's back, so we, you know, it's a strong room. It's a strong room again for us. So, I didn't feel like this was a must position in this draft, and yet, you know, if someone would have fell to us in the right spot, we could have easily taken him.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.